Please take your Bibles and turn with me at this time to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 2, and we'll be in verses 13 through 14. This is the second week in our Advent wreath series. Last week we looked at the Advent candle of hope, and today we will look at the Advent candle of peace. Peace is one of the nine fruit of the Spirit that we find listed in the Bible for us in Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. It goes on. But what I want you to notice here is something very interesting, that the order of the Advent candles, we go hope, peace, joy, and love. The order of the Advent candles is the same order as the first four fruit of the Spirit, just in reverse, right? First four fruit of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, and patience. When you reverse the order of the Advent candles, we get love, joy, peace, and hope. And last week, we saw that hope has to do with what? It has to do with patience and with waiting. We even looked at Romans 8:25 last week, which says, if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. And so just understand and recognize that as we go through the order of the Advent candles this season, we are also working our way sort of backwards through these first four fruit of the Spirit, and we're working our way towards the very first of the fruit of the Spirit, the primary fruit of the Spirit, which is love, which we will get to on the fourth Sunday of Advent. But this is just the second Sunday of Advent, the second week, and so today we're going to be looking at the candle of peace. And what better place to begin this morning than with the angel's announcement of peace to the shepherds on that first Christmas Eve. So in Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, will you please stand with me for the reading of God's holy word? Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." This is the word of God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we all could use a word of peace this morning. And so as we spend some time reflecting on Jesus and peace and Christmas and how all of this ties together in our own lives, Lord, I pray that you would indeed minister your peace to us through your word, through Christ, through your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. One of the things I love about Christmas is the nativity scenes. I'm sure you love nativity scenes as well. It's one of my favorite parts. With all the lights and the decorations, every time I see the nativity scene, there's something in that that just resonates with my heart so much. And I think one of the things I love about them, beyond the fact that they're sharing the story of Christmas, is that they're so peaceful. And it's hard to imagine a more peaceful-looking scene then Joseph and Mary with their newborn child, surrounded by sheep and shepherds under the midnight sky. And we even sing about it, don't we? In one of the most peaceful Christmas carols ever written, we sing, "Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin, mother and child, holy infant, so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace." Now, we all long for peace in our lives, and yet peace is sadly lacking in our world. People are so full of worry and anxiety. Relationships are full of conflict and stress. The world is full of conflict and wars. And so we are lacking peace, but that's where Jesus comes in, because Jesus is not only our hope at Christmas. That's what we looked at last week, right, with the Advent candle of hope. Jesus is not only our hope at Christmas, but he is also our peace. And it is only in Christ that we will ever truly obtain peace on earth. Someone once said, "There will never be agreement at the peace tables of the world or rest in the individual heart until the Prince of Peace reigns supreme in the hearts of men." And that is exactly true. And so that's what the Advent candle of peace is all about today. Part of the Christmas story, part of the Christmas message is that Jesus brings us peace. And we are going to be looking at four aspects of the peace that Jesus brings us this morning. There's an outline in your bulletin that has all four of these outlined for you if you'd like to take that out to either follow along or if you'd like to take notes during a message. But what are these four aspects? Number one, that Jesus brings peace with God. Number two, Jesus brings peace with self. Number three, Jesus brings peace with others. And then finally, number four, that Jesus will bring peace on earth. So let's start with this first one now. Jesus brings peace with God. We read in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." I want you to notice that we are not naturally at peace with God. The Bible tells us that our sins have separated us from God, and it is only through Jesus and through faith in Him that we are brought into a relationship of peace with our God and Creator. Now, as we look at the Christmas story, when God first sent the angel Gabriel to Mary, He sent Gabriel with a message of peace. We read this in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 30. "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God.'" So Mary was troubled at the angel's greeting. By the way, when you go through the Bible, every time an angel appears, people are troubled by the greeting. Even if the greeting is just nothing but good news, there's something about a shining, powerful angel standing in your presence that causes you to be shaken in your boots. And that's why the first thing the angels always say, go through one after another when they appear, they say, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." You go, "You're an angel. Of course I'm afraid." But they say, "Don't be afraid." And so this angel appears to Mary and speaks words of peace and assurance to her, telling her, first of all, don't be afraid. But then he tells her why. He says, "Because God is with you. And because you have found favor with God." God was with her. She had found favor with God. She had found peace with God. And you might wonder, well, how did Mary find favor and peace with God so that God was with her? And the answer is, Mary found favor with God the only way any of us find favor with God is that she had faith in God and in His promise of the Messiah to come. And just like so many Old Testament believers before her, she had faith in Christ before Christ even came. She had faith in the promise of His coming. And now God had chosen her to be the vessel through which His Son would enter the world. Then God also sent an angel to Joseph, Mary's husband-to-be. And what the angel says to Joseph is instructive. The angel tells Joseph, Matthew chapter 1, 21, he says, "She, Mary, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now the name Jesus, this is why they were told to give him the name Jesus actually means salvation. Salvation. And so Jesus was given this name, his name. Why? Because he was the promised Savior who came to bring us peace with God by saving us from our sins. Now, when John the Baptist was born, 3 months before Jesus was born, John's father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he prophesied about his son, John. In his prophecy, he spoke about how John would go before Jesus, how John would prepare the way for this one who would bring us peace with God through the forgiveness of our sins. Here's Zechariah's words now about John the Baptist in Luke chapter 1. We read these verses earlier with the lighting of the candle. And so Zechariah says, "And you, my child," speaking to John the Baptist, "you, my child, you will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, to guide our feet into the path of peace." And so everywhere throughout the Christmas story, we see Jesus is bringing peace, and specifically peace with God. And you might wonder, well, how does Jesus do that? Why is it that everyone, without any exception, everyone who puts their faith in Jesus finds peace with God? And the Bible tells us the answer is very simple. It's all because of what Jesus did for us at the cross. Jesus was born into this world to die on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven and so that we could be restored to a right relationship of peace with God. It's what we read in Isaiah 53, verse 5, that he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. And so that's the first and really the most important thing the Advent candle of peace teaches us and reminds us at Christmas, is that Jesus brings peace with God. Secondly, Jesus brings peace with self. You see, sin not only separates us from God, sin also brings separation within our own being. We are not just human beings, we are conflicted beings, aren't we? We are constantly fighting anxiety and stress and inner turmoil, and we desperately need inner peace. And Jesus came not only to bring peace with God, but also personal peace within ourselves. Once again, as we look into the Christmas story, we find examples of this. I'd like to look at one this morning. Last week, we looked at a man named Simeon. You remember Simeon? God had promised Simeon, "Simeon, you are going to see the Messiah before you die." That was his promise. And wouldn't you know it? The Holy Spirit moved Simeon to go into the temple courts. And right at that very moment, what's happening? Joseph and Mary are bringing baby Jesus into the temple courts. And they meet, and Simeon takes Jesus into his arms. We read in Luke chapter 2, he took Jesus in his arms, and he praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people." Simeon is a wonderful example of Jesus bringing personal peace in our hearts. You know, we sometimes talk about our bucket lists, right? All of those things that we want to do or accomplish before we finish our lives here on earth. Well, apparently Simeon only had one thing on his bucket list. He wanted to see the Messiah before he died. And when he finally did, when he finally saw Jesus, that was all he needed. He'd seen Christ and he praised God and saying, "I'm ready now. You may dismiss your servant in peace." Simeon embraced Christ and he was at peace within himself. You see, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you not only receive peace with God, in other words, you're no longer separated from God, you receive peace with God, you also receive the peace of God, a peace that comes from God to help you through the difficult circumstances of life. And when you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, everything can just be going crazy all around you, and you can still be at perfect peace within yourself. That's why Paul tells us in Philippians 4, he says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." And what's going to happen when you do that? And then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Notice from this verse, notice that this wonderful peace of God is only available in and through Jesus Christ. That's what it says, doesn't it? The peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Hear these beautiful words from Jesus himself, from John 14, 27, where Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." You see, Jesus not only brings peace with God, he also brings peace with self. And then thirdly, Jesus brings peace with others. And once again, we have a wonderful example of this real early in the Christmas story. We often miss this. When Joseph first heard that Mary was pregnant, he considered breaking off the engagement. I mean, just imagine if you were in Joseph's shoes. He must have been terribly hurt, terribly confused, thinking that Mary had been unfaithful to him. But then we read in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, that after Joseph had considered this, after he'd considered breaking off the engagement, after he'd considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." If Mary was pregnant with any other child, Joseph most likely would have broken the engagement. But you see, this wasn't any other child. This was Jesus, and he was conceived in Mary's womb from the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus, even before he was born, is bringing people together. He brought peace between Joseph and Mary and kept their marriage from coming apart. We go through so many challenges in this life, and one of the most difficult is when our relationships are in turmoil, when our relationships are in conflict. And that's when we need to ask Jesus, the Prince of Peace, to come and to bring us peace in our relationships, to intervene, to reconcile, and to restore. We read this about Jesus in Ephesians 2, 14. "For he himself is our peace. He who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." Jesus came to break down the barrier. He came to bridge the gaps. He came to bring people together. And he came to restore peace to our troubled and damaged relationships. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we are called to follow in his footsteps, to be peacemakers. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of Christ, the peace that only Christ brings, let the peace of Christ rule in your own hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace." And so we are called to peace in the body of Christ. We are called to peace with others in our relationships. But it only happens as we let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. Jesus brings us peace with others. Jesus brings peace with God. He brings peace with self. He brings peace with others. And then finally, number four, Jesus will bring peace on earth. For this, we go back to the angels who announced Jesus' birth to the shepherds that first Christmas Eve, and who also proclaimed the peace that Jesus would bring to our planet. These are the verses we started with this morning, Luke 2, 13 and 14. "Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.'" This peace that would take over the whole earth, this is a peace that was prophesied back in the Old Testament. For example, in the Old Testament book of Isaiah, we read this wonderful prophecy about Jesus. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 4. "He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. See, this is part of our hope in Christ, isn't it? We spoke about that last week. Our hope in Christ, that when Christ returns, he will make all things right. When Christ returns, he will rule over the earth. When Christ returns, he will bring peace. What a beautiful prophecy. The thought of the nations taking their weapons of war and beating them into weapons of peace. Not weapons, but instruments of peace and tranquility. Some people might ask, well, how do we know that Isaiah was talking about Jesus in these verses? How do we know he's talking about Jesus bringing peace? How do we know this isn't just talking about God in general? Well, you just flip forward a few chapters in Isaiah to Isaiah chapter 9. And we find these follow-up words about who it is that will ultimately bring this peace on the earth. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And this, folks, this is a clear prophecy about Jesus, who was born as a child, given as the Son, who will be called, who is called Prince of Peace, and who one day will rule in peace over all the earth. But it gets even better than that. Because this peace on earth will not only bring an end to war among the nations, the Bible tells us that this peace will even extend to nature, into the animal kingdom. And so you flip forward a couple more chapters in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 and 9. And we read this prophecy: the wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. He goes on, the cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child will put his hand into the viper's nest, and they will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Folks, that's our hope in Christ. Jesus is coming, and when he comes, he will bring peace on earth. And what a peace! He truly is the Prince of Peace. But you know what? It gets even better than that. Because the Bible tells us Jesus will not only bring peace over all the earth, but he will bring peace to the whole universe. In fact, that he will reconcile all things to himself in heaven and on earth. For we read in Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in Christ, and through Christ to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. What a magnificent view of the future and what will happen when Christ returns. And this verse in Colossians, you know what it does? It brings us right back to where we started this morning. Because this verse tells us that the reason Jesus brings peace with God, peace with self, peace with others, and peace on earth, the reason all goes back to the cross. Because Colossians tells us without Jesus shedding his blood on the cross, there would be no peace. And without Jesus being born as a baby at Christmas, there would be no cross. It all goes back to the cross of Christ and Jesus shedding his blood for our sins, making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Let me ask you a couple questions in closing this morning. Do you have peace with God this morning? Do you have peace with God? Sometimes when someone is dying, when they're on their deathbeds, people ask, you know, have you made your peace with God? Are you at peace with God? The Bible tells us Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins so that you could be forgiven and restored to right relationship with God. And if your faith is in Jesus Christ this morning, if you are trusting Him as your Lord and Savior, then the Bible says, yes, you do. You have peace with God. That is His promise to you. Do you have peace with yourself this morning? Do you have that inner peace? Once again, if your faith is in Jesus Christ, then Jesus has not abandoned you, but He has come to live in you, to dwell inside you, within you, by His Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, through His presence in your life, He offers you His peace. Remember the verse we looked at earlier from John 14? Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Do you have peace with others this morning? If your faith is in Jesus Christ, then Jesus has given you all the resources that you need in order to do your part in living in peaceful relationships with those around you. And then after you have done your part, as far as it depends on you, as much as possible, live in peace with all others. After you've done your part, then you may ask Jesus in prayer to work in the other person's heart and pray that you may live in peace. So do you have peace with God this morning? Do you have peace with yourself? Do you have peace with others? Our final question is, do we have peace on earth this morning? And oh, how I wish I could tell you, yes, we have great peace this morning. Headline, this morning's paper, guess what? Peace on earth. Wouldn't that be wonderful to read that? We do not have peace on earth yet, but we do have the promise of peace on earth to come. And God has never yet broken a single promise that He has made. The angels proclaimed to the shepherds that first Christmas Eve, peace on earth, goodwill towards men. That promise still rings in the air this Christmas season. As we worship and adore the Lord Jesus, our Savior, God's Son, the Prince of Peace. Let us pray together. Dear Lord, we thank You for the candle of peace this morning, which reminds us that peace is really at the heart of the Christmas story. It's at the heart of the Christmas message. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for making peace through Your blood shed on the cross for our sins. Thank You that through You we may truly know peace in our lives, in all of these various aspects, in all of these dimensions of our relationships with You, with ourselves, with others. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that there will be peace on earth. For You are coming, and You are the Prince of Peace. We thank You and praise You, our Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen.